worth 15 to 20 million
dollars. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And I'm very proud to say that we have many, many internet listeners, not only in the tri-state area, but all over the USA. And I will be talking about meeting some of those people during today's broadcast. If you received an email about the program, email it to a family member or friend. Get them involved. If you live in the area, go to your phone and invite others to tune in. We are going to have a rock and roll program today because everybody's on board. Dr. Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. Your ears must have been ringing over the weekend. Wow, we had a festival. Unbelievable. Continues this Saturday and Sunday at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. each day. Come and see me. I'll be by the main stage. Also, Larkin Connolly is a man who never, ever stops to amaze me. He walked in this morning in the studio and sat down. I'm totally shocked. This is unbelievable. This man has to be given, how many travel miles do you have? I mean, everybody in there, your grandmother must know you. Hey, that's Larkin. I told Larkin I saw some person at the festival, and they told me about Larkin ice cream. They saw some kind of a sign at the shore, so I'll have to check that out. Larkin Connolly is a small business advocate and a SCORE mentor, and I'll tell you, SCORE has done an unbelievable job and continues to welcome people looking to go into business, to contact them, to be mentored, to be realistic about what they're looking to do now and in the future. And Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, is here, and I know Rich is going to have a lot of comments today on some of the things I want to discuss. And also our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, very happy to be with you as your host. And I want to thank all of the people who were with us last week, Mark Andel and Larkin Connolly, as we welcomed our special guest, Damon Stefankevich, a 15-year-old high school student from Wildwood, New Jersey. I got a lot of feedback about our young guest, Damon Stefankevich, and I asked Damon to join us again in the very near future, and I understand that he will be with us in about 2 weeks, so I'll keep you posted on that. We missed you last week, Rich. It was one of those situations, but today you are here, and you will be ready to rock and roll. Before I go to our special people, our panel members, I want to say thank you to everyone that supported the victims of Hurricane Harvey. You've been watching in the last few days the goodness of the American people looking to help one another. It's really good to see, it's good to hear, and it's good to hear from people, even at the festival, what they did, who they supported, you know, what they would like to see in the country. There is just a lot of great movement going on, and I'll be talking with Mark about a special movement up there in Erie County today. The reaction by the American people certainly is another demonstration of what Americans can and will do at a time of need, and helping one another make sure we get our jobs back and all is just as important as the hurricane victims or any other opportunity to help the needy in the USA. During the Labor Day weekend, I participated at the Polish American Festival there at Częstochowa in Doylestown. Wow, the crowds were beyond belief. Unbelievable. And I want to say thank you to the people that stopped to let me know their comments and suggestions. Let me know that they tune into our broadcast 7 days a week here on 860 AM. And also talk about some of the ideas that Larkin talks about. Rich has a following of people. I mean, I want to have a Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and Mark Andel love fest over here one of these days and get all the people over. People are saying that it's time that we make some very hard choices in America, and they like the fact that people are united behind the Buy American Made campaign, and they want all the bull to end. They're tired of it. The people are sick, tired, and disgusted of listening to the same old negativity. And people also have now accepted fully that America's leaders sat back silently as jobs were relocated around the world, and now a lot of our problems that were caused by ourselves have to be fixed by ourselves, simply by going out to support American Made, support your local stores, and make sure that you do your very best to be the best American that you can do. People, we talk about the cell phone so often. Well, people all told me they've looked in stores. They went to Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, the whole deal. No American-made phones. That's really a sad commentary. Everybody has a phone, yet none of them are made in America. So let's do something about that. And maybe some of our young people, our inventors, we'll be able to come together and do something so that we can fix this cell phone problem. Also, I want to just take this opportunity to mention three very, very wonderful people that I met at the Shrine. New people who are promoting our Buy American Made campaign on their radio programs. They include Eddie Biegaj, Andy Tsitkovich, and Dennis Ostapovich is a regular, and also Barbara Ilnitska. All of them are promoting the Buy American Made campaign each and every week. I can't thank them enough. Now, well, you heard enough from me. Now I'm going to ask Mark to open up the program by giving us a brief update on the Made in America Act presented by Erie County, New York, legislator Ted Morton. Can you give us an update, Mark?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How we all doing? Lark, and I heard you did a surprise visit. Welcome. And Rich, I hope you're safe in preparing for the hurricane. And God bless all the people there and in Texas. Mike, the Made in America Act is alive and well. We've stirred it up. Thanks for your help, our listeners and everybody. Mark Polenkar, our county executive, I believe was forced to call a public hearing, which is going to be tomorrow now, sooner than we thought, which is good. And tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Thursday, 3 o'clock, downtown Buffalo, they called another public hearing. Again, 9 out of 10 legislators 2 weeks ago passed it. One was off or absent, so there was 11 towns involved in the county. And this is big. I'm behind the act. To me, it's common sense. I want to get your thoughts on this, but it shouldn't have to be a law. I ask a lot of people, and they kind of laugh that we're to a point where we've got to make buying local in your community. It should be common sense. We shouldn't have to have a law. It should always be searched, sourced, and bought first in local communities and areas. It shouldn't have to be written to force people to think and have common sense and support your livelihoods around you. So it's very strong tomorrow. I'm reaching out to our 60,000 social media. We're on 7 channels with social media, and we're going to tell everybody to meet in Buffalo. So we're very excited. We think we can get this passed. I want to make sure. I'm always on the grassroots side. The political side is tough, and I don't think politics should really get involved here. I think this should be common sense. It should be passed in our county. I agree with Larkin. There shouldn't be a $10,000 limit. It should be common sense, and I hope this is just a beginning of what we spread around all counties across the United States of America, because the Made in America Act and the Made in America movement is very, very alive, guys.
Very important. I have to tell you that I will today again reach out to some of our people there in that Buffalo area, because Mark himself is a member of the Polonia community, and his family has a history. He knows what it's all about and the importance of a job. So I'm going to ask our listeners and people who know listeners in the area to call Mr. Polenkar and tell him that you would like this done. I'll give you his telephone number. It's 716 area code 858. 8500. 716 is the area code. 758 8500. That's a very important. It's at the he's located at the Erie County Executive Building, and that's in Buffalo, New York. I think this act could be something that we could take from Erie County and move it across the USA, bringing a lot of positive attention to an issue that has died on the floor for many years. Let me just give you that phone number again. Please ask for Mark Polantkarz and give him just a message that you would like him to sign off on this piece of legislation, the Made in America Act. And if you have an opportunity, also contact legislator Ted Morton to let him know how important introducing this has been. The phone number, once again, is 716 is the area code, 858-8500. Don't be bashful when you call. Remember, all these people are doing a job for us, and this is a job that we would like to have done. Mark, thank you, and I will get out an email today, and maybe you can. I'd like to also say maybe people could call Ted Morton and also compliment him, and at the same time, call Mark Polankaj and let him know you want action. What's happening with Mr. Rich Loges? Are you getting ready for the storm, or are you blowing the storm off to sea?
Well, I'm here, Michael. We're just good morning to everyone. We're getting our preparations ready to get out of Dodge. And, you know, depending on what happens here, people do need to take they need to have a plan in place like yesterday. So we're in an evacuation zone. We're gonna get out where we're gonna go a little bit inland, and we're just gonna ride it out. We're just gonna see how this is gonna unfold. The problem with waiting, for all of my friends in Florida listening, the problem with waiting until Friday is, yes, we'll know on Friday. We'll have more visibility into where the storm is likely to hit in Florida, but by Friday, it's too late. You've missed your chance to get out of here, so you're going to basically be stuck. So, for everyone, Michael, for you, if you anyone you know in Florida, this is something that the entire state can be affected by. So, we're ready. We've got everything prepared. We helped some of our neighbors get some things prepared. Larkin particularly will find this funny, I think, because yesterday while we were at the Publix grocery store here, I saw someone wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt who got mad about the water being rationed. And I put that into the irony file, Larkin.
Yeah.
And I let him know, you know, nicely, because he looked pretty young. I don't know, early 20s. You know, a prime candidate for one of the people I'm gonna be writing about with my upcoming book, 10 Warning Signs Your Child Is Becoming a Democrat. And I said to him, I said, you know, I want you to know, even though I've never lived in that kind of place, but my wife has. I said, rationing happens every day across many countries around the world, from food to water to medication to health care. So I thought, Larkin, you know, it was a moment of learning. I don't know how much he really listened to me, but I felt my civic duty to say something. But nonetheless, I made sure that he still got his water, because even a Che Guevara t-shirt wearing Duke Dope idol worshiper should have water during the hurricane. And Michael, I want to tell you, during your opening monologue, you read my mind on something, because there's another not as talked about important day in September. Labor Day is important, of course, but there's another day that isn't as talked about that much. And I just want to mention it here, because I don't know if I'm going to be on a show with you guys next week, depending on if I'm paddleboarding up to Mark. Me and my wife and the baby will be on the paddleboard
going up to Buffalo. Right?
And Mark's got his board, so we'll be good. Me and my wife have one. So on September 17th, Michael, is the anniversary of the signing of the United States Constitution.
That's right.
Which took place right around the corner from the Polis Center.
Absolutely.
At Independence Hall. And it was at that moment when officially the founders made it official about our Constitution being a limited government, pro-freedom, self-rule, self-governing, self-regulating constitutional republic. And I know that being a constitutional republic where certain rights are inalienable and non-negotiable, I know that's an inconvenience right now to one of the major political parties. I won't mention them by name, Democrats, but I know that's a bit of an annoyance to them right now. But at that moment, on that day, September 17th, which is a day that I wish was talked about more, so maybe we can start talking about it more often here, Michael, on the show, and let us be the impetus for that, to have the country talk more about it. That was a truly glorious day.
It was.
And what's amazing about it all, Michael, and I've made this point before on the show, and I just want to mention it again, that if you look at so many civilizations throughout the history of the world, right? If you look at from Iraq to Egypt to China to India, these are places that have been around for tens of thousands of years. And you know, the United States, we're clocking it at a mere 241 years. And yet, at 241 years, despite all of our flaws and imperfections, and God knows we have a lot of issues that we need to be dealing with on a daily basis, but yet, coming in at 241 years, which is just a drop in the bucket, we've done it right and better overall than places that have been doing it for thousands of years. And I'm not saying that to put down those places, Michael. I'm just saying it to affirm that the American way of life with our culture and our law and order is the place that, and our opportunities, that we are the place that people come to. I don't want to hear about generous. We admit a legal immigrant every second of every day. Every second of every day, there will be 3,600 legal immigrants admitted to the United States, Michael, from the start to the end of this show. So I don't want to hear about it. I do want to hear about law and order. And I just want to make a comment that I do think, all things considered, the president did the constitutionally appropriate thing to send back the DACA executive order, which was overturned by our Supreme Court by a 4-4 ruling, parts of it, and it was the right thing constitutionally to do, and it was a respect of our separation of powers between the executive and legislative branches to send it back to Congress. And now, Larkin, we wait for our esteemed majority GOP Congress to see if we can get a solution from them. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. DECA, I unfortunately for the last 2 days was terribly, terribly busy and wasn't in an office like my home office. I turn on I turn on C-SPAN mostly, but I feel as though I'm in contact with the world. I can spin around in my chair and see what's going on. And when I'm on the road like this, I don't get a chance to do that. So the DECA ruling came and went without me hearing what Trump had said. But I'm in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia doesn't have a lot of people that face right. A majority of Philadelphians face left. And everybody that I saw on the street, everybody that I saw at the free library where I opened a session for SCORE, everybody that in the shop, Patrice's shop I happened to visit, everybody said, there goes Trump again, full of hate, full of racism. He threw DECA out and the kid's got to go. And I said yesterday, what I heard on Sunday on all the talk shows was that he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to take DECA and put it back where it belonged. And he told Congress, do your damn job. Do your job and get it done. You know, I hear this constantly, people throwing into my face. And I'm a pragmatist. I am not a Trump supporter. I am not a Republican supporter. I am not a Democratic supporter. I am a pragmatist, period. Enough said. I just want to fix things. and I don't care what party you're from. But they browbeat Trump and say that his 38% rating is the lowest of any American president. Wrong. You don't have to go back six presidents to find Gerry Ford was 7 points below him when he forgave Nixon, which, by the way, historically has proven to be the right thing that should have happened. Period. Amen. But nobody ever mentions a Congress, which 4 months ago had an approval rating of 14%. And how the polls screwed this up and got them all the way up to 31%, but they're still 7 points behind Trump. They're not doing their job. And constitutionally, this should be brought back. We all understand the four branches of government. We all understand that. We have the legislative, we have the judicial, we have the executive, and there it is, four branches. Oh, by the way, that fourth branch is lobbyists. So we now have a fourth branch of the government. But we have to start paying attention to the rule of law.
Right.
Period, amen. There, no president should have the power to change laws. They sign and approve laws that are made by Congress.
Right.
Please understand how this country is supposed to function. And all presidents need to stop this silly, bills that are not bills, but whatever they are. Now the term skips my mind, but it's just, it's crazy. President Trump yesterday did the right thing. He hasn't done the right thing universally up and down the board, and he is a little rough around the edges. You know, I heard Dwight Evans this morning as our congressman from the Philadelphia area. I heard Dwight on radio talking about Trump and DECA, and he had a better take on it. I mean, he's the one that said, you know, the president sent it back to Congress and said, fix it. Fix this.
Exactly. And first of all, Larkin, you know, and Rich and Mark and every listener, it's very good that we're talking about this, because what happened in the past with the DACA thing is the president took it upon himself to allow the people to stay here. President Obama. That's really not a president doesn't make laws. He can do an emergency executive order, but not that it's going to last forever. There would have to be an expiration time for this some point in the future. Now it's the president says, I'm sending it back to the people who were elected from every town and city in the United States. You fix it and make sure we get everybody on the table. You know where I stand with issues like this. I want everybody on the table. I want things made in America. I want people working in America. I want them off programs. The DACA people were given this because they were, you know, in limbo. They didn't have the IDs that they needed and the availability to go and get a driver's license and everything like that. That allowed them to do it. But he should have said at that time, I am putting this in effect for 1 year, but in 1 year, I expect the Congress to address this and put it into law. And that's what he didn't do. And that's what Trump is doing right now. Yeah, people should understand that.
And guys, I agree with you, Larkin, what you said, because, Trump is holding the Congress accountable and responsible, which has to happen.
Yes.
I also watched how they're saying the Congress is too busy now. Now, how many months did they have off? And they just got back Tuesday, yesterday. And yes, they got to deal with the hurricane. There's things to deal with that are important. But is it 2 months they have off? Is that correct?
No, I don't think it's quite that long. But Mark, you're right on. I mean,
you're gonna get
paid $174,000 a year, $176,000 a year. You better work a hell of a lot harder than you are right now.
come in rested, right?
Right.
Well, when you put in all the perks, the travel fees, and everything else, they're saying that is doubled. So that's too much money. We don't need a full-time Congress. They should be gathering five times a year, and that's it. Staff
Michael,
should be there every day of the week, but they should be not paying full-time. Then give them pensions to do what?
Oh, they you know, if you get elected once, get reelected.
It's the lottery.
You get reelected, and you get that. You get your retirement wage for the remainder of your life.
Right.
I mean, this is crazy. Why would anybody give Barack Obama $200,000 or $400,000 pension a year? And that's what he gets, folks. That's it. He's out there making zillions of dollars. He's a very, very wealthy man right now on his own right, and I don't begrudge him that.
I believe it's the DACA issue is in the right place now, and I ask everyone to start calling their congressmen and senators and tell them you want action, because the president only signs the final document into law.
I just want to put a period on this conversation that I heard from Dwight Evans, who is a newly elected. He's in his freshman year. He said, listen, whether you like it or, and this is a quote, whether you like it or not, Donald Trump was elected president. He is the president of the United States, whether you like it or not. What Congress has to do and what the president has to do is get back to work and start fixing a lot of things.
Yep, I agree 100%. And you know, as we end this particular conversation, I have to tell you this, Rich, you're going to be very pleased to hear this. And I know you will be pleased also, Mark, being so proud of our military. At the festival, there was a man we honored. We sang all the Polish hymns to him. We celebrated his 98th birthday. He's a soldier from New Jersey. His family listens on Wednesday. They enjoy how we talk about General Patton and all. And I'd like to say happy 98th birthday to Mr. Matt Didura, also in attendance on that day. And I wish, when I'm 98, if I hit there, I wish I could walk around the way Mr. Didura did. I mean, this guy was okay. Now, another family in attendance with another great soldier that served was Pandirda. He was there. He also served under General Patton. And the family asked that I mention that to Rich Loges. So, Rich, in behalf of Pandirda and Matt Didura, I want to give you their best wishes and thank you for promoting General Patton, who they have think the world of.
Well, Michael, you know, listen, thank you for mentioning their names because, of course, we know. You'll be amazed, guys, how many people I meet who don't really know who General Patton was. But that's a different discussion. But these names, Michael, most people will never really know who they are, right? They'll walk by you on the street, sit next to you at the cafe, restaurant, and you won't know, we won't know really who they are. But these people are, as far as I'm concerned, they go beyond just being an American hero. They are truly a hero to the world. This was the force. This was the group of men and women who conquered, who fought back and conquered evil in Europe. And you know, Michael, I mentioned a rationing thing before. I walk around in my wallet with, and Michael, the Poles, you know, in Philly know very well what I'm about to say. I walk around with the actual ration ticket that people in Poland had under the rule of the Soviets, where it's burned out, where it has the section for food, the section for water, the section for baby food. I have that ration ticket. And most of the time I show people, I ask them if they know what it is, and I don't expect them to know. So they say, no, I don't know. And I say, well, you know, on one hand, it's good that you don't know. But on the other hand, here's why you should know what it is. And my period on this conversation, Michael, with the executive order, since we're talking civics here, and since I mentioned the Constitution earlier, I will quote for our listeners what John Adams once said. We are a nation of laws, not of men. And it very clearly states in Article 2 of the Constitution, which I know that citing the Constitution is an annoyance, Larkin, to a certain political party. I won't mention them, Democrats. I know it's very annoying to them to say that, but naturalization is very clearly cited. And it states very clearly in the Constitution that must come from Congress. And since we're talking about executive and judicial and executive branches, well, that's why our Supreme Court, Michael, was such an important issue in this election. Now, when it got to the Supreme Court, do people think that the executive order by the Obama administration was overruled 8-0? I mean, you would think it was, right? But no, it wasn't. The ruling was not 8-0, Michael. The ruling was 4-4. So what if there were one other justice there of the Ginsburg, Kagan, Sotomayor way of thinking? Well, that would have meant that our Supreme Court would have pushed aside that glorious document known as our Constitution, because that would have meant that they interpreted it, Michael, as they wish for it to have meant, not what its intent was. Supreme Court important? You damn right it was. But guess what? When people went out to the polls, Michael, and voted, they didn't just vote economy, national security, taxes, health. There were a lot of things that factor into people's votes. But you go and ask the people on the street who voted for the president if the Supreme Court was near the top of that list, and I guarantee you, you're going to hear a lot of people say yes. So thank God that we got someone like Neil Gorsuch on that court, which is not to say that every ruling he'll make will agree with, but who cares? What I care about is the fact that Neil Gorsuch, as a justice, is not going to interpret the Constitution based on what he thinks it ought to mean. No, he's going to base it on, is it in spirit, in the letter and rule of law, with what the intent of our Constitution was: self-rule, self-governing, self-regulation. Again, Mark, I know that's very annoying to a lot of people. I know it. I realize that. But like the guy said, Larkin, whom you cited, like it or not, and this is another glorious thing about America. You see, a democracy is no longer a democracy when you can't change your mind anymore, because that means you live in like a tyranny, or you live in a theocracy, or some communist or socialist dictatorship. I mean, my God, Larkin, we can go as voters every 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, however many years, depending on the position, and we can exercise our right. We don't like how this person did, even though I may have voted for him or her. Well, guess what? I'm voting you out. That's amazing.
And you know, you're right, Richard. There's one thing that I have seen, and I hear it everywhere I go during this summer season. People that said they did not vote on a regular basis have made their mind up that they will vote on a regular basis based upon things that they see happening in the country. And Mark, I have to tell you that I pray that you will go after all of your people up there in the Erie County area so that they would call both Ted and Mark Poloncarz to tell them that this is very important. They should also let them know that what happens in Erie County will be seen all over the country, because we will push it on this broadcast, and I'll do my very best to make sure that it's well known. What happens there in the next, I think we have till what, September 19th to do this, Mark?
Yeah, you know, this is thank you, Mike, and, you know, guys, great discussion today. This is huge, a law like this, and to keep the Made in America movement, which I truly believe will save 90% plus of our country's problem if we got people, give them a purpose, give them jobs, get them back together. You know, it helps hold families together. Livelihoods is what it's about. But if our county, Erie County, out of Buffalo, New York, can lead that way, and can we help them with our people? You know, we're 82 employees strong with General Welding and Made in America. I'm very proud of that. And we're very busy. We all work. You know, we have 36 buses coming in the next 3 weeks, which is a statement because the travel industry is down over 50%. But we're up. We're going to hit our 700th bus to visit the store in October. And, you know, I'm telling people when I go on a bus, I tell the story, what happened to us, the bad times that caused the Made in America store. And I also tell them all lives matter. And I'm pretty proud of that. They all cheer. And I say we're Americans. You know, and I'm pretty proud. I think you guys would agree. We've got to start getting on the same track. We're Americans. You know, no matter what our past is, we've got to start coming together as one. And that's where this radio show, Mike, thank you, has made a difference. And the more we keep aligning and going forward with not only the Made in America movement, but good positive talk, I think we're going to make good positive change.
You know, Mark, I try not to be schmaltzy and soft. The only time I really do get schmaltzy is when it has to do with my kids. But I watched again the other day. I was going through old files, actually looking for a presentation that had been filmed, and I saw the what was her name? Karen Alfonsi. Am I close?
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Sharon Alfonsi from ABC News on the ABC Evening News with David Muir, and it was hard for me to watch those people break out into that song, God Bless America.
On the bus at the end. Yeah, they did that on their own. That was a true story.
And I thought, somebody planted that. That had to have been a plant to be the end of the story, and it flat out wasn't.
Yeah, we said, Larkin, somebody likes what we're doing, and I truly believe on that. We've been, there's a lot of guidance, and you know, that's great. The movie, the American-made movie, we're seeing right after our broadcast today, me and Sue got to meet. The Buffalo International Film Festival chose the movie without knowing me or anything about it as a feature documentary film that's inspiring. It's going to screen here the 26th again, which is awesome, in our same area. So much positive is happening. Just hang on to your hats. We're only scratching the surface on this Made in America.
Yes, in fact, you know, you have to tell the Ted Morton and also Mark Poloncarz that putting this on the referendum on Election Day is going to be a very positive thing for America, because we'll be able to see the mood of the American people as they go out to support the Made in America Act, which will mean they're supporting the legislators who supported this particular act. We have a lot of things going on in this country. I'm going to give you a telephone number again, and I'm going to email it out to all of our email people tomorrow morning after I hear from Mark what happened today at their meeting. But I'm going to give you Mark Poloncarz's number. It's 716 area code 858-8500. Thank him for signing this piece of legislation, because it will help America. And by the way, I want to say, yes, Larkin, you were going to.
Well, yeah, and I just, this is just my silly brain working, but, you know, as a small business advocate and my association with SCORE, we have a tendency to always want to have a barometer of some sort, so that you did something, you spent money on marketing, what did it bring you back? Did you get sales? You know, how do you evaluate things? So I want you to close your eyes and think about the United Way thermometer. They put at the top of that thermometer locally the amount of money they want, $5,800,000. And then they continually color in that thermometer until it reaches its goal. Why don't we have some level of barometer? Let's get a consistent and accurate count on what's being manufactured in America. And let's look at that like every 6 months and put it on a graph and see if we can hockey stick that number to get it to go up. And so that we can, all this work that Mark's put in is going to come to fruition. We know that it is, and it's going to continue to make a difference. If we could have something on our cover page of our site that shows the growth or lack of growth of manufacturing in this country, I think that would be a very interesting number to watch.
You know, Mark, I think that we're going to have to get your friends from the American Manufacturing Association to help us with this project. Larkin, that is genius, because if we look right now, how many hundreds of thousands of things that are made in the country, that would be the beginning of the barometer. And we just go up and see what more can we do. You know, we're talking about, you know, people being scared off about the DACA and all. Let me just say this. Those boys and girls that were allowed to stay in America were educated in America. They know the American way. One of the things that they should do is help us in this country to take that knowledge and bring it to America to make sure it stays here. Not throw them out, but bring them here, legalize them, everybody on the table, and let's make America the best place to do business.
Yeah, amen, Mike.
Yeah, and we could also make it a cross graph and make another line on there for the number of people employed in the manufacturing sector. And let's just sit here, continue to do what we're doing, and then watch that graph grow.
You know, I don't like to attack anybody. However, the people that I was working with on the U.S. debt clock, believe me, we spoke about that. And most of the people in the Census Bureau and all do not want that kind of information released because it degrades the people in Washington. How could these people sit back and allow all these industries? We're talking 77,000 industries left America.
Well, they may be the first one in front of the firing squad, but there are a lot of other people that need to go in front of the firing squad also. Walmart CEO and Costco CEO, you know, all of the people that forgot who was buying products out of their store and you know, and sent their items to
And also, they, you're right, Larkin. And also, one of the biggest things that I hear is people were mesmerized by the advertisements that they see on the television. 30% cheaper, 40% cheaper. No one was talking about American made. Nobody was promoting what was going on in the country. Our movement helped a little bit. And the fact that all these additional radio people are now hawking our message is also very helpful. And that's why change is beginning to take effect. You know, we're here in Doylestown, and many of the people were coming to that festival from all these areas of Pennsylvania. And I stand there at the main stage and have an opportunity to talk with people, listen what's really on their mind. These are wonderful people. These are good people. Americans are wonderful people. They do not want this kind of welfare and all the other programs that are out there to support working age people. Working age people should have every possibility to go out and support themselves, and they're not given that opportunity because the way the government has taken over.
I've got a question. And Larkin, I love your idea. Like you said, return on investment barometer or any fuel gauge that we could put on manufacturing and creating jobs. Awesome. Did you guys happen to catch the president, what he said a couple of days ago with our huge challenge with North Korea? He threatened that if our ally, if allies of North Korea don't get it right and take care of this, he's going to cut all trade with them.
Yes, I saw that, and China was livid.
How big that statement is. If you cut trade with China, 90% of our product. What do you guys? What's your opinion on that, or what's your comment?
Well, we better go out and start cleaning up a lot of vacant manufacturing sites.
We're the consumer of the world. I mean, but what a statement.
What I still find it virtually amazing. Mark says this all the time, and I repeat it to myself, shaking my head. We do not manufacture one item in this country that gets plugged in.
It's shameful.
Larkin. Yeah, I bring that up, and it stops people in their tracks. What do you mean? And we're always trying to educate, raise awareness, being consistent with our message. That's sad.
Very sad. And it's and don't think that it is not before the eyes of the people. People that never looked at labels now look at labels first. That's what cheers me up.
But how did America get here? And like Larkin, you said, it would take a lot of work to rebuild the supply chains. But we can't complicate it. We have to all start doing our part now. We know it's going to take years and years to rebuild, but we must change our ways. And everything's fixable. That's the best thing.
You know, Mark, I'm going to ask you to talk with Scott Paul about that.
Scott's,
I'd like to see this.
I'll bet you he'd get behind something.
Yeah,
like
he
that.
Would like this very much. I love the idea. I mean, I would put that, we would have it on our site. We'd make that one of the features. I know that Scott has a great site too would also make it a feature. It's a very great idea. Larkin, you came to Philadelphia and really did your thing. You know, guys, I have to tell you, it's hard to believe, but already Monday is September 11th. It's really amazing how this time, and it's 16 years ago that this happened. You know, I was talking with some of the people at the festival, and we were talking about how fast time goes and this and that. We start talking about 9/11 because we're doing something on Sunday, the day before 9/11 at the festival. But people were talking like, this is what I was doing and that was what I was doing. Larkin, what were you doing when you first heard about the plane going into the tower?
I was driving from Richmond, Virginia to Virginia Beach, Virginia, to go to work. I was at that point was between jobs and was helping a guy who was starting a company that put television sets, live feed television sets on top of gasoline dispensers. And it was a unique little project that this guy got involved with, and he he didn't do well because he was the first one to step up with it. And that, as you know, the first guy up takes all the arrows. And it's the second and third iteration of an mm-hmm. idea like that that works. But at any rate, I walked into a 7-Eleven to get a cup of tea so that I could go into the building with a cup of tea. And I walked in there, and the cashier was crying. And people were standing, and I mean, everybody in the store. And I said, what? I couldn't believe it. So I went out to the car and turned on my radio to drive into the office, because they were saying something about a New York building being bombed by terrorists or something, you know. And I got in there and literally listened to a radio commentator, like, calling play-by-play as the second building came down. So I ran to the office, and, of course, we had televisions all over the place because of the project. And we stood there mesmerized. I'll bet you I stood for 3 hours without moving, watching the television set. And I was absolutely stunned.
And I mean, look at how that time has passed. Mark, where were you when 9/11 first happened?
Yeah, I was at General Welding, our plant. Jackie had called me and told me to turn on the TV, and she was crying. And we were just putting having grass put in our place after building a newer house over the year before. And she was upset. I went, took some guys up front, and like Lark, and I stood there just in awe. You know, it just hit you. I'll never forget that moment. And nothing like it. My daughter, you know, Jessie's started 10th grade today. She's 14, but, you know, you think about, she wasn't born yet. A lot of the children don't know, but I'll never, ever, you know, forget that day, that feeling. And you know, my heart goes out to them. And, again, we should never forget them and always recognize them, especially this Monday. Unbelievable. It's 16 years, though, Mike.
How past the world, that time.
The world changed.
The world had changed as a result of
that day. The world changed.
Rich, what were you doing on that day?
You read my mind, Michael. I was going to just mention that before you did. So I was a 24-year-old local newspaper reporter, and I was in between listening to updates on what was happening and meeting a couple of deadlines that I had for stories. And we had heard that planes had hit. And then when it really got real was the reports of the first building collapsing. And then at that point, we did what we just knew what to do as journalists, which is we started going around our communities and finding out what was going on and talking to people. And yeah, I know, you know, Michael, I was living in New York. I'm from New York originally, and there are, while I don't know anyone personally who died that day, I know so many people who were NYPD, fire department, people who knew people who died. And I'll be honest with you guys, I have to bite my tongue a little bit when I talk about this this moment, because the most important thing out of it all, more than the politics, is to remember those who were there that day. I will tell you, Michael, I know people who were late to job interviews at the top of the World Trade Center, the restaurant Windows on the World. I know people at the time who were late to job interviews because one guy I know, he overslept and he missed his train. And you know, Lark, and he thought his whole life was over for missing that train ride, right? Mm-hmm. And missing that train prevented him from being in that restaurant. So that's a moment, Michael, that the stories are going to be told forever. They need to be told forever. And I'm going to refrain from any political comments about it, because the most important thing is to remember all those. Also to salute, irrespective of whether or not people agreed with the military responses, it's also very important to recognize our military men and women who served in response. And many, Michael, again, I know people very well who enlisted on September 12th. They went down to their local Army or Navy or Marines, Air Force, whatever it may have been, recruiting office, and they enlisted on the spot the next day. So we salute them as well.
Very good. Very nice. Well said. Well, I was coming into my office, and my daughter, Marion, called me from school and said, you know, because we went to New York, you know, all the time, and we went on the top of the tower, the lookout, with some friends and some visitors. So she said to me, oh, it looks like a plane just went into the tower where we normally went up, in that lookout tower on the top of the building. So I said, oh, maybe it's just a plane. That was the first the plane hit. And I think Henry will say that he was coming in the building at the same time, and we went up to the conference room, and we saw what was going on, and we watched it for some time until everybody was, you know, we just decided, let's go home, because this is really a very sad time for America, and it's going to be a changing time in America. It changed our entire life. And I think that we're going to have to not have a tragic situation, but I think we're going to have to start looking out for one another the way we did right after 9/11. The patriotism in America was unbelievable. People were waving flags. People made sure they contacted family members and friends. And that's, I think, something that we are going to have to do as we get our jobs back in this country, because this is what we're about. America is, as no matter what anybody says to me, America is the greatest country on earth. I visited Europe 10 times. I know exactly. I've driven all through the countries. I know exactly what it's like. America is the greatest country. We have not been treating it as the greatest country. We've been treating it and leaving it to the hands of elected officials, thinking that they know best. When I go traveling around, people now tell me, Michael, elected officials should take your lead. The people on your broadcast are more intelligent than the people in Washington. At least you are focused on America, not on everything else. They're passing all kind of resolutions. Is there or has there been a resolution to create more jobs for the American people? I haven't seen it yet, but we may see something positive with the Made in America Act, which was introduced by Ted Morton, and now the guy that we have to make sure signs off on it, and then we get this thing rocking and rolling across the USA. His name is Mark Paul Enkosh. He is a member of the community. I'm asking everybody up that way to call, and outsiders can call too. Give this number a call, area code 716-858-8500, and just say how important the Made in America Act would be for Erie County to promote and pass. Mark.
Yeah, just awesome. And, you know, I always look, when you talk about September 11th and in honor of all the victims, I've got a flag of honor that hangs that Annan flag produced. And the flag is created of the names of those who perished in the terrorist attacks on 9/11. And it hangs centered in my office. And, you know, they've never been out of my prayer since that day. So I'm glad, Mike, you know, you think of them. And we should always think of that day. And we should tell our children of that day, because it wasn't that long ago. But, Mike, thank you for, you know, your efforts helping me push this Made in America Act into law, because I think it's going to be just a staple. I'm blessed to have it in our hometown. They continue to put my mugshot and our team and our store ahead of the things from on Google and whatnot. So we are leading the movement, and I'm proud of that, but I'm proud of my team and family and wife and kids. And, you know, Larkin, you guys all met a lot of them, and all of us that really believe in this and are really carrying it through, because everybody can do their part. I think it comes down to the people to really make the most difference in this country.
It really is fun to be there. It really is. It's fun. I took a local score guy, Bill. Isn't that terrible? I hope Bill's not listening. and the SBA guy, Frank Sartino, who is a character amongst characters. There's no question. Frank is 86 years old and still works a 40-hour week for the government. And he represents the SBA up there. And when we left there after meeting Mark and taking the nickel tour and seeing everything, and we were driving back, and Frank Sartino said, I'll bet you that's a fun place to work.
Yeah, well, with being around Mark, he's a man of energy. Mark, I want to say thank you to Sue and everybody up there for informing me about what is going on. If you would let me know what's happening today, as you said, they're going to have a special hearing today.
It's tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Okay, I'm going to see what I can do to get a little message out to some people, and I'm going to give that number to them. By the way, the guy who can really help move this along is Mark Polenkarsh, and his phone number, once again, is 716 area code 858-8500. His signature could really be a historic moment because his signature would move it so that it's put on the referendum ballot in November. Is that right, Mark?
Correct, exactly.
Okay, let's get on it and call up Mark and give him the full treatment and tell him that you heard about it on American Workers Radio, that you know Mark Indel, and that we are behind it in Erie County 100%. And what happens in Erie County may be able to happen all over the USA if all of us stick together. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time to say thank you for tuning in, and thank you for spreading the word about all of our efforts. My thanks to all of our advertisers. They will be fully acknowledged throughout the week. And until this Saturday at 11, or I see you at the festival at Częstochowa over the weekend, or next Wednesday at 11, best wishes to you and yours as we're listening to God Bless America.
Have a great week, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great week.